I really haven't read it thoroughly, and I needed to clear myself from there. But there is a report highlighting that Zimbabwe is one of the most corrupt countries in Africa. And that is unfortunate and really bringing shame to our nation, a nation that is known to be law-abiding, that has always been respecting the law, a nation that is educated, a nation that is known to fear God, as a nation that is considered to be a strong Christian country. It is sad to have such a situation. I can't also vouch that the authenticity of the report itself, but one would say that given whatever has been said, I think we need to take stock of ourselves as Zimbabweans and say, if such reports are being written about a nation of Zimbabwe, we should then begin to examine ourselves and say, this is unacceptable. And that it's unacceptable from the highest office in the land and up to the lowest office in the land. And each and every one of us must begin to say, I do not want to be part of that type of report, and I don't want to be corrupt, which calls on proper ethics of doing business, proper ethics of running a home, running a country.
Let me just go to Ms. Ncube and get her reaction on this report, because it feels like Groundhog Day, that we've heard about this before.
Well, I actually think it's reflective of the situation on the ground. We receive a lot of cases concerning corruption in the public sector and the private sector. I think that this is a true reflection on the ground, not knowing what their data sources are, but I don't think they're far off the mark. I don't think if someone else, let's say a Zimbabwean local research group, were to do a similar research, they'd come out with findings that are very different. And the reason being, there is really no commitment to fighting corruption in the country. Right from the top, from the leadership, whether it's business leadership or political leadership, there's little investment placed in dealing with corruption and investing into ethical business conduct. Public enterprises and private enterprises, as you know, do a lot of deals together. So there's also that high risk of corruption between the private public partnerships divide. Then there's also the growing nature of bribing an official. Just yesterday, I was at a CZI business ethics workshop, and one of the panelists was talking about how in the past you would not find junior officers of a company, representatives of a company, soliciting a bribe from international business counterparts. But now no one feels that, you know, this is a very risky thing for me to do. In the past, it was maybe just associated with people who closed the deals right at the top in the leadership. Now it's everywhere, throughout a company, throughout a public enterprise. Everybody's trying to get a cut. So it's not surprising that the report would state that we make up 32% of the value of Africa's fraud, which is quite shameful.
Right.
But we can't be in denial. What Mr. Jokonya is saying is true of the Zimbabwe of 12, 15 years ago. We are not those people anymore. We are a corrupt people. This is what we have to face.
So who then can police the society if everyone at the top is corrupt, Mr. Jokonya?
Before I answer your question, I would not want to say we are a corrupt people. I don't think you ever want to generalize that. I totally agree that corruption is found in certain pockets here and there, but I would not want to say that Zimbabweans are corrupt in general. However, I think we have a law enforcement agent in the country. We have the police that should take care of any acts of breaking the law, and corruption being one of the acts of breaking the law. They must take that into account. And there has been this formation of the anti-corruption, which unfortunately, and I would agree, I think the anti-corruption commission, which was put into place a couple of years ago, does not seem to have the teeth, or does not seem to have the commitment, or if they do any work, it looks like it's a biased arrangement, which is based on rumor mongering, which is not based on professionalism. And I feel that that is an area where we probably, it's not properly constituted by people of integrity. And so anti-corruption unit would require people of integrity. So so is the police. The police requires people of integrity. But for me, what is strong and serious is the fact that for a nation to be a strong nation, it starts from the family. It starts from the home. If we do not teach our children proper values, when they move out in the world, they get corrupted easily. And I'm strongly here saying the church, the family, the schools, and society itself is responsible for bringing in values and values of integrity.
Ms. Ngube, can you give us your thoughts on this, especially on the issue of the Anti-Corruption Commission? And as Mr. Jokonya said, that it does not actually have the teeth to deal with this problem. And also, you know, that generally we have an unprofessional police force, making it difficult also to deal with this problem of corruption. So what do you think is the way forward?
Well, I agree with Mr. Jokonya in so far as he's saying we have to revisit our value system as a nation and start with the family unit. That's fair enough. But in the immediate, short-term and immediate term, we don't have commitment in the leadership. And it doesn't matter what the Anti-Corruption Commission could do or can do, or the police could do or can do, if there is no political will at the top to deal with corruption. And that is a very pertinent point, because corruption is a political issue. It affects the very heart of economic, financial development, distribution of wealth, everything that a country holds dear to itself, and everything that a people holds dear. So if people at the top see national assets as something that they can take for private gain, they will not seriously address the issue of corruption. Let's not forget that in this context, there are many people who are benefiting from the corruption.
So
1.2 billion of fraud that is talked about, that is discussed in this KPMG report, is a sign that it went into some people's pockets, a few people. So it doesn't matter how competent the people that you hire in the police are or in the Anti-Corruption Commission, if the leadership does not give them the go-ahead to say, this corrupt person must be made to pay. Because what is happening, and we get these reports every day, these people buy the police, they get away with it, they buy the judiciary, they get away with it, cases are dismissed. And the people with the power to make that possible are the people at the top.
So, Mr. Jokonya, this again is not a new, you know, this issue of the lack of political will. So, in your view, how does society force those in positions of power to do something about this, to deal with this problem?
The answer is very simple. Politicians, they come in, you know, and the beauty about politicians is every 4 or 5 years you change them. You go for elections. Those are the most important decisions, and you decide on how committed the others are. I don't want to go into really contradicting what my dear friend lady has said here, but I just think that the fundamental root of our change in a society starts from the family. Yes, there are people that are corrupt, including police or whatever, but I think we must be a nation that is governed by values and the values of integrity. Yeah, 1.2 could be stolen today, but you know what? This country is worth billions, and it could be 50 billion if we don't take action now. So 1.2 is gone. Let's take action today and begin to speak about it and speak strongly about it. I thank you.
Mr. Callisto Jokonya and Ms. Mary Jane Ngube, thank you very much for talking to us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.